BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Increasingly, ladies and gentlemen, Christians are being challenged in their faith. Mockery of God is okay, just don't dare mock the erroneous teachings of evolution, and certainly don't speak against socialism today. There's a growing intolerance of those who stand upon the authority of God's Word, and sadly, the biblical worldview, IQ, is becoming less and less. We're here to help train and equip students with a biblical worldview. We welcome to our studios today Russ Miller. Russ is the founder of Creation, Evolution, and Science Ministries. He's the author of five creation-oriented books, including the book Cost, that's Creation, Original Sin, Separation, Redemption. He's also developed numerous PowerPoint seminars, conducts Grand Canyon, Rim Raft, and Grand Staircase tours, speaks on college campuses and national conferences. He's developed a Young Earth Creation course for public school students for purposes of training and equipping them to know and to defend a biblical worldview. Russ, good to have you in studio.
Hey, Jim. It's great to be here. Thank you for hosting me today.
Now, you were at one time a theistic evolutionist. First of all, define that term for us, and what did that mean? What was your belief system as a theistic evolutionist?
Sure. Jim, I have 174 college credits, and the only thing you're ever taught, public school through universities, is that we evolved over millions of years of time. And as a young Christian, I came out, I still held to the Christian faith, but I compromised it greatly by being a theistic evolutionist. Mm-hmm. And today there's theistic evolutionists, progressive creationists, gap theorists. And what they're all trying to do, we're trying to fit the secular teachings of millions of years of time leading to mankind. We're trying to say, how does this fit into God's Word? And I came out a theistic evolutionist. I wasn't one that was trying to sell it to other people. It's just in my own mind, that must have been how God did things. And a theistic evolutionist believes that God used millions of years of death and suffering to slowly evolve us. Well, eventually, I learned what a fraud Darwinism is, and then I share that with others. I just shared it with 700 people this morning here at a local high school, by the way. And once I realized that Darwinism was a fraud, I started looking into that foundation of Darwinism, which is billions of years of time, and I found out that if there was a global flood, it wipes out every old earth belief. Now, a lot of Christians don't understand why it matters if God used a day or a billion years. Well, besides God's word, and besides billions of years as the foundation for Darwinism, naturalism, humanism, atheism, agnosticism, so it does matter. From a Christian standpoint, the key issue is that the old earth beliefs place death before Adam. And once you've taught there was death before Adam, that millions of years of death brought man into the world, you can't then turn around and teach the biblical foundation of the gospel, which is it was man's sin, Adam's original sin, that brought death into the world, separating us from God, requiring our redemption through Jesus. So once you put death before Adam, it undermines people's faith in the authority of God's word and the very reason for Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross.
Now, some will gather that position by scripture that says to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the face of the earth. And so some will say, well, if you replenish something, that means something was there and it emptied out and it's got to be replaced once again. That's not really what replenish means, though, is it?
Well, no, it's not. Words change over time. We used to say something was cool, meant it was cold. Now cool means it's hot. So replenish at that time meant go out and fill the earth. It didn't mean refill the earth as we would basically interpret that today.
Russ, you say now, I am not attacking anyone who has been misled into believing in Darwinism, theistic evolution, or progressive creation. I'm here to help them just as someone helped me. That's really the thrust of your ministry, isn't it?
Absolutely. I consider our ministry, and I used to speak a lot of times on campuses, college campuses, and I'll go and I'll speak and share the truth of God and His Word wherever God opens that door. But what I have found is with over 90% of Christian colleges and seminaries teaching some form of old earth beliefs that put death before Adam, that inside of the church is where the harvest truly is ripe, because we have people like myself formerly that are completely confused on these issues. And they're thinking, how do we fit millions of years and evolution and all this into God's word? And what I do is I come in and show them we don't, that real science is a believer's best friend. You know, Jim, a lot of people today don't realize it, but over 80% of the branches of modern science were started by Christians.
Wow.
Yeah, today people, I'll speak at a high school and I'll start out by asking, hey, how many of the branches of modern science do you think were started by Christians? And I'll hear, none. And I say, over 80%. In fact, it's about 82% of the 200 or so branches of modern science started by Christians. Isaac Newton, the greatest scientist of all time. Louis Pasteur, the father of the scientific method. Sir Francis Bacon, all Christians, all believed in biblical creation. And now that has been undermined. Science has been undermined by secularists over the last 150 years. Now they own the system, and they basically have corrupted science and education by forcing all views to fit their religious-based view, which is billions of years of death and suffering leading to mankind through a Darwinian process. And what I do is I show people why there's scientifically no reason to accept their positions.
Yeah, because the thought today that's propagated by many on college campuses is that the words Christian and science, they just don't go together. They're not compatible with one another.
Absolutely. In fact, when I speak at a college, it takes me 15 minutes to get through to these young minds who've been so indoctrinated. They think that evolution and science are the same word. I'll sit there and I'll show how to scientifically destroy Darwinism in 4 seconds flat, which, by the way, is simply gene depletion plus natural selection makes Darwinism a scientific impossibility. And the kids will go, why are you attacking science? And I was actually attacking—
Science denier.
I'm saying that, well, I'm not attacking science. Real science is on my side. Real science is a believer's best friend. I've never attacked real science. I'm attacking Darwinian evolution. And they'll go, but evolution is science. No, evolution is evolution, and science is science. And in fact, Jim, actually, if you really think about it, creation and evolution are exactly the same thing. Now, I know a lot of people out there are thinking, what in the world is this guy talking about? Think about it. Creation and evolution, from a Darwinian standpoint, are both beliefs on how we came about. Neither one is science. They're both beliefs on how we came about. What I show people is real science destroys Darwinian evolution. Gene depletion plus natural selection makes Darwinism impossible, which is why they have no real viable examples of Darwinian evolution to show. But real science supports biblical creation and the global flood very, very well.
Russ Miller with us here today on Crosstalk. And as you have spoke this morning to many hundreds of young people at a school. You speak on college campuses. You're familiar with what's going on here today. What percent of Christian young people today do you believe possess and are able to defend a biblical worldview?
That's a great question. And unfortunately, I would say of young Christians, let's say high school age Christians in the average church, I'd say maybe 1 out of 100, maybe 2 at the most. Because again,
1 to 2%.
Yes. We're actually losing 80 to 90% of our kids between the ages of 18 and 20. Now they've actually lost their faith back when they were 12, 13, and 14 because of being taught millions of years leading to Darwinian evolution. But they still go to church and do the youth groups because their parents are taking them to church. But once they leave the parents' home between the ages of 18 and 20. We're losing up to 90% of them. And many that are still staying still are very confused on these creation, evolution, age of the earth issues. It's a very foundational attack on the people's trust in the authority of God's word. Both Barna and Pew Research have done research on why and taken polls on why these young adults are losing their faith or leaving the church. And Pew reported recently that the number one reason, according to the 20 to 30-year-olds who've lost their faith, the number one reason was being taught Darwinian evolution. The number two reason was thinking the Bible's not rational. Well, the Bible's not rational compared to what? To the Darwinian teachings. Mm-hmm. The secularists own the school systems, and they're teaching kids they evolved over millions of years of death and suffering. And then they look at the Bible, which says that Adam's original sin brought in death, separating us from God, and that's not rational to what? To the secular teachings. And the number three reason was that the church isn't providing them with the answers. Well, why isn't the church providing the answers? Because of compromises with old earth beliefs. And once you've taught that millions of years of death existed before Adam, which all old earth beliefs teach, you can't turn around and teach Adam's original sin brought in death, separating us from God, requiring our redemption. So it's a train wreck at the moment, and I'm just one of many people that are trying to get involved and help straighten that out.
You have actually indicated that keeping a biblical worldview in your home is more important than ever. Tell us why.
Because the biblical worldview has had multiple torpedoes put into it by our secular and atheist teachings. Kids are coming up through, especially in the public schools, and they are absolutely being devastated. You mentioned in your opening statement that it seems like it's okay to attack Christians, but nobody else. I'd like to explain why that is. I was speaking at a college a couple years ago, and during I always did the hour-long message and an hour-long Q&A, because I had to let the kids see the professors don't have anything here. Because if I had just spoken and left, the professors would have been, oh boy, if I could have spoken. So I always do the hour-long Q&A so the kids can see, no, they don't have anything. But during the Q&A, one kid stood up, and instead of asking a question, he said something putrid about Christianity. And Jim, the whole auditorium roared in laughter. Mm. And as I was standing there waiting for the laughter to die down, God just handed this to me. And I was having a conversation with God in my head, and I was saying, but God, they're going to kill me if I say that. And that was it. So I said, okay, I'll do it. The laughter died down, and then I said, now I have a question for all of you. If this young man would have said something like that about a Muslim or a Hindu or a New Ager or anybody else other than a Christian, he would have been kicked out of this school.
Huge gasp would have happened.
Huge gasp. But because he said something like that about Christianity, you all roared in laughter. You thought it was so funny. It was so enjoyable. Why was that? And you could have heard a pin drop. And I'm still talking with God in my head saying, but God, they're going to kill me if I say that. And okay, I'll do it. And I said, tell you what, let me answer that question for you. The reason you can say something like that about a Christian and nobody else on this campus is because God, the God of this campus is Satan. And Satan already owns all non-believers. He doesn't want you wasting your time attacking non-Christians. But Christianity is the real deal. Jesus Christ is the real thing. And that's why you can say any putrid thing you want about Christians, but nobody else on this campus.
My. Russ Miller with us here today on Crosstalk. And our topic, equipping students with a biblical worldview, we're going to be talking about a creation course that's been devised to help young people develop that biblical worldview. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Noah's Ark Explorer from the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can you tell us anything new about the search for Noah's Ark?
Chris, the search for Noah's Ark is always on the minds of that set of people that have Ark fever, and I'm one of them. I've been involved in the search for Noah's Ark since 1970 and have led numerous expeditions to Mount Ararat. In the last 15 years or so, hardly anybody has legally been on Mount Ararat. We have, however, been able to search from satellite photography, but with no firm indication that the Ark has been found. The Bible does not predict that the Ark will be found, so we don't have that to look to, but we do have a lot of evidence. Hundreds of people claim to have seen the Ark, but we just don't have any proof. A lot of smoke, but no fire. The Ark did exist, that we're told back in Genesis, but does it exist today? Maybe.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Russ Miller is our guest today, and talking on the topic, equipping students with a biblical worldview. He's in town as he's been speaking in some schools in the area, as well as this coming Lord's Day, speaking at the Wauwatosa Bible Chapel, a suburb of the Milwaukee area, speaking during their family Bible hour, 10:30 in the morning, located on North 67th Street in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Russ, just before we talk about this creation course you've developed, you also are a teaching through doing, and that is many, many, many trips that you have led through the Grand Canyon. Give us a word about what you're doing.
Sure, Jim. I have been leading Grand Canyon tours based on a biblical worldview for about 18 years now. And I've been taking up to 1,000 people a year on biblical-based tours of Grand Canyon. We do most of these trips, I would say, May through September, but maybe every other weekend. But we started doing this years ago, and I've actually led multiple raft trips through the entire length of the canyon. I've probably rafted the entire length of the canyon 12 or 13 times. Certain sections, I've probably rafted 60 or more times. But we started doing rim tours to the South Rim, and that's still the foundation of our Grand Canyon tours. That's where I explain the canyon through a biblical worldview. We also...
I thought that that's already self-explanatory with those little markers down on the pavement to tell you how many millions of years it's been there.
That's the geologic trail of time, or the trail of propaganda, as I like to call it. But they do. They have these brass markers that go from basically Mather Point past Bright Angel Lodge, about 4 mile stretch, that every step represents a million years of time. It's all propaganda because millions and billions of years is the foundation for Darwinism, naturalism, humanism, modern atheism, and agnosticism. And unfortunately, the compromised positions inundating the church today by well-meaning people, for most part, trying to figure out how do we fit this into God's Word. And what I do is I show them how we don't fit it into God's Word. Mm-hmm. But at Grand Canyon, we also do a rim and raft trip and a grand staircase trip. In fact, next Tuesday of next week, I leave on a 7-day grand staircase tour.
Now, that's a new term for some individuals, a staircase tour. What is that?
That's a great question. What most people don't realize, let me go back to Grand Canyon and I'll explain that. So we start out all of our trips with our foundational tour at the South Rim, the South Rim Tour. And at the South Rim, if folks listening have been to Grand Canyon or have at least seen a picture of Grand Canyon, they know it's a big hole in the ground. It's about a mile deep on average. What I show people is, number one, that mile of rock layer you see in the wall, there's 10 primary layers, Kaibab limestone on the top. The lowest of the flood layers there of the 10 primary is the Tapete sandstone. And from the rim of the canyon, I can point out the layers and point out that, number one, at the bottom, at the Tapetes, I can show people where creation and judgment physically meet in our world. Mm. And that is where the lowest layer, the Tapete sandstone, the lowest of the stratified layers, stratified out by grain size, weight, and density by moving water, have been laid down, and they sit right on top of what we consider original creation rock, which is non-stratified, and that's how you can really tell the two apart. The stratified layers are the judgment or the flood layers, and I can actually show you a Grand Canyon where you can put your thumb on creation rock and your fingers on the first of the judgment layers. So you can physically touch where creation and judgment meet. Now, at Grand Canyon, they call that contact point the great unconformity. I call it the great inconsistency. But secular geology admits they're missing 1.2 supposed billion years of stratified layers that are supposed to be between the Tapetes and that non-stratified rock. They call it the Great Unconformity, some unknown erosional event removed 1.2 billion years of layers and left no evidence of where it went. I say it just never was there. The floodwaters are laying down layers and picking them up and laying them down and picking them up. This is why we have stratified layers that make up the crust of the earth. Have you ever wondered why do we have all sandstone and then suddenly all shale and then suddenly all limestone? Why aren't, those layers form slowly over long ages of time, they shouldn't be stratified. It should just be a big brown mixture, but we had the stratified layers because they were laid down by the global flood. Picture a miner. He gets a pan, he scoops up some sediments and water, he sloshes it back and forth. Well, the moving water separates those sediments in his pan by grain size, weight, and density, gold being the densest, falls to the bottom. Well, on a global scale, the fountains of the deep were erupting for the first 150 days of the flood. They eroded about the top mile and a half to 2 miles of the crust of the original creation. Mm-hmm. Then over the second 150-day period, they started laying those layers down. Well, the Grand Staircase, when you are standing on the rim of Grand Canyon, and Jim, you've obviously been there because mm-hmm. you know about the geologic trail of time, which very few people know about. When you're standing on the rim, it's a mile from the rim down to the river. Now, that's a big hole in the ground. But what they won't tell you at Grand Canyon, because it destroys their belief, which is all older beliefs are based on the belief there was never a global flood. What they won't tell you there is that mile from the rim to the river is nothing. There used to be 2 miles of rock layers above today's where the rim is, above the Kaibab limestone that makes up the rim of the canyon. Now, late floodwaters removed those about 2 miles of layers. And if you go north of Grand Canyon, you start picking up those missing layers. You go about 60 miles north of the canyon and you pick up the 2,000-foot-tall Vermilion Cliffs. So we do our raft trip through on our rim and raft trip, because when you land at Lee's Ferry, all of a sudden you emerge from these 2,000-foot cliffs and they're cut and gone like a knife. Well, Jim, if you were to climb up on top of those 2,000-foot Vermilion Cliffs and go about 40 miles north, you come to the 2,500-foot-tall white and gray cliffs that Zion cuts through. And if you climbed up on top of those and go about another 45 miles north, you'll come to the 2,500-foot-tall pink cliffs where we find Bryce. Those are the major steps of the Grand Staircase. As you go from north-south, you go Bryce, Zion, Vermilion Cliffs. And although not officially part of the Grand Staircase from a geological standpoint, if you drop 100 miles south from there, you hit the Mogollon Rim, which is another 2,000-foot drop-off. And those about 11,000-foot of layers were removed from what is now the Phoenix area. So 2 miles of rock layers removed for tens of thousands of square miles, leaving no evidence of where they went. There's no way to viably explain that but flooding on a global scale.
You don't get excited about this, do you?
No, I don't. I love sharing this with people.
Well,
absolutely.
Let's just mention here, we're going to talk about this Young Earth Creation course that you have, but where can our listeners get more information about the Grand Canyon trips, the staircase tour, etc.?
They can go to my website, creationministries.org, and on that you'll see Grand Canyon tours and upcoming tours. We've only got a couple left this year. Like I mentioned, next Tuesday, I'll leave on a Grand Staircase tour. But our 2022 tours are lining up. We already have 6 or 7 rim and raft trips and a couple of Grand Staircase tours on there. So people could go to the website and see a selection of different dates where they could try to join us and join a great Christian trip.
Again, that's creationministries.org for more information on it. We were talking in the first segment significantly about the lack of a biblical worldview that's held by so many children, young people today, and things just really tank out when they get to college, and just so many walking away from their faith, walking away from biblical truth in that regard. Now, you are working on changing that situation by developing a young earth creation course for public school students, mm-hmm. fully accredited. Tell us about the course.
Well, it's interesting the way God made this happen. Really, the credit beyond what God did was a school out of Phoenix called Northwest Christian School. And Northwest Christian School is one of only 17 Christian schools in the entire world to have received what is called exemplary accreditation status. And what that means is when a student takes one of their courses, those courses are fully transferable into public schools. About 2 years ago, they told me they wanted to work on getting all of their courses online so kids anywhere in the United States and anywhere in the world can take their courses. And they asked me if I'd be interested in putting together a course on creation, evolution, age of the earth issues. And we worked on this for over a year and a half. And the class is called, is titled Creation Science and Biblical Worldview. Right now, they're running the pilot semester. It started about 3 weeks ago, and it will be launched officially this coming January. So the time to start getting kids registered for the January launch is right now, anytime forward. And what they're what they've done is it's an 18-week course, and it's built around my book, Cost, which is the COS and the cross, creation, original sin that separate us from God, and the cross, our need for redemption through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, the cost. And the cost covers the top 10 old earth beliefs, explaining how they put death before Adam. Then I go into the top 10 evil fruit of old earth beliefs, because Jesus said you tell good from bad by the fruit. Well, the first major fruit of old earth beliefs, which, by the way, were only invented about 200 years ago. Most people don't realize that. The first major fruit of these beliefs is Darwinian evolutionism. So I break off and I cover the top 10 Darwinian teachings. And what I do with all of these is I show here's the evidence. Here's the secular worldview's interpretation that's being taught as science. And here's the exact same evidence through a biblical interpretation, which blows the secular interpretation away, which, by the way, is why the secular side has to have a total monopoly and only teach their interpretation as if it were science. You know, Jim, I get asked all the time, hey, Russ, what evidence do you have the Bible's true? I always say I have the same evidence that atheists use to say it's not true. I mean, we all live in the same world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all have the exact same evidence. It's never been about who has the evidence. It's about who gets to interpret the evidence. And for the past 30 to 40 years, only the secular interpretation is taught to kids. My book, Cost, compares both side by side, which makes it a no-brainer, and which is why the secular side cannot allow kids to see the biblical interpretations.
What age group is this designed for?
Honestly, it's a high school course. The course itself is it's 18 weeks. It's got papers and tests and all. People ask me, would it make a good Bible study or Sunday school class? My answer to that is no, because it really is a solid high school class. It's really for high schoolers. Now, younger kids, you know, junior highs could take it, but it's really a high school class. My book, Cost, each of the chapters has its own study guide at the end of each chapter. And I always tell people for a Bible study or a home study or a Sunday school, really my book plus a couple of my DVDs that go with that really are the better type study for a non-high school group.
Russ Miller, our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're going to be taking a quick break, and we're going to have a few more minutes of discussion about this course. We'll be providing you a website as well with information pertaining to it. And then we'll also give you opportunity to call in with your questions of our guest here today on Crosstalk, Equipping Students with a Biblical Worldview. We'll be right back. James 4:14 poses this thought, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, "But I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values." While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, "Where Will You Spend Eternity?" To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829, 800-729-9829.
The program is called Crosstalk. It comes your way each weekday at the same time on the VCY American Network. Our guest today, Russ Miller, founder of Creation, Evolution, and Science Ministries. As we mentioned previous, creationministries.org, the website, we're talking, though, about a brand new course, a Young Earth Creation course for public school students that is fully accredited. And this is something that it's in its pilot stages right now. January, it's going to be launching fully for young people to be involved in across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So people may be scratching their head just a bit here, Russ, asking, well, okay, so I take this course, but how do I get that credit in my public high school?
Yeah, vital question. Absolutely. Jim, the way that transfers into the public schools is any kid can take this online 18-week high school course. When they pass that class, they will get a credit on a Northwest Christian School transcript. Now, again, they are one of only 17 Christian schools in the world to have received exemplary accreditation status. And what that means is once a kid, even a public high school student, takes and passes this class and they get that on the Northwest transcript, it can transfer into any public school in the United States as one of their elective credits. Most high schools want kids to have 6 elective credits. This would be one of the credits that count toward their high school graduation. So it's actually something that any public high school kid can take. Hopefully it will save and solidify their faith and even give them information they can share with others, but it will count toward their graduation requirements.
Homeschoolers would benefit from this?
Absolutely.
Christian school students?
Homeschool, Christian schools, public schools, private schools, any student will gain from taking this class, and hopefully eternally.
Yeah, amen. No doubt something that parents would benefit from as well.
They really would.
As they eavesdrop the course.
They eavesdrop the course, or they the kids taking the class will get a copy of my book, Cost. And because the course is based loosely, or not loosely, it's based overall on my book, Cost, but mm-hmm. it also incorporates all of my videos, 50 other articles I've written for publications, and a lot of other things that we have. So it really is quite in-depth. And parents would certainly gain from reading my book, Cost. A gal gave my book to her mother for Christmas. Her mother is a biochemist and a non-believer, and her mother read the book and told her daughter, "I never knew information like this existed, and it has since accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior."
Amen.
The truth will make us free, but we got to get that information out to people. It's being blocked, and most folks don't even know it exists.
Wow. Well, friends, we're going to provide you a website here momentarily, so be ready to jot it down. But 18 different topics that are presented through this course. There's that introduction to worldview issues that begins with it, mm-hmm. The radiometric dating, geologic timescale, the global flood, the Grand Canyon, the Grand Staircase. You cover that issue in there, the origin of life, micro and macro evolution you address. Similarities to the fossil record, plethora of evil fruit. You talked about the evil fruit. You go through just a whole list of things in there. And then also from creation to salvation, the cost, mm-hmm. Part of that as well. But so much more than what I've just outlined there. But there must be a website where our listeners can get more information on this.
They can find more information on this on my site at creationministries.org. We're getting a link put up there probably today that will just basically be on the high school course. You can find the high school course itself, but it's really a registration page at highschoolcreationcourse.com. That's really more of a registration page. The best information to show people why they should have their kids take it will be on our site, creationministries.org.
Okay, very good. Well, friends, we're going to open some phone lines here. No doubt you've got some questions as it relates to developing this biblical worldview, some of the issues there. Maybe you're a parent with a concern for a young person in your family or a college student needing some help in this regard. Maybe there's some question that's been a puzzlement to you. Maybe you've got some issue or question pertaining to the Grand Canyon, or a sweat or appetite as to that grand staircase and some of the matters pertaining to the Grand Canyon itself. So our phone lines are open. Our number today, 1-800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. So often we are finding that society as a whole is totally working against this biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
It's really critical for parents to get engaged with this matter before their child becomes one of those statistics.
It's so important today, Jim. And to be honest, this has been going on now. We didn't just start losing 80 to 90% of our kids by the age of 20. This has actually been going on for about 35 years now. So most parents don't know this information either. And if you're a parent out there and you're thinking, this is way too much, how would I be able to discuss this intelligently with my kids? Well, my book Cost would really make it easy. The book, I write pretty much the same way I speak. I try to make things as easy to understand as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really the book is really a great foundational tool. It covers, again, the top 10 old earth beliefs, the top 10 Darwinian beliefs. It explains the evil fruit coming from these beliefs, and it covers the top 10 reasons to believe in biblical creation and the global flood. I very clearly explain through this book the importance of the global flood. Most Christians give no thought to the global flood. In 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 6, one of the great prophecies in the New Testament, and as you know, Jim, the Bible is the only book in the history of the world that lives on its ability to correctly predict the future. And you can only do that. It can only do that because it is indeed the inspired word of God. One of the great prophecies in the New Testament in 2 Peter is in the last days, scoffers will come along. So this is a last days prophecy that scoffers are going to come along. And they're going to be doing a few things. They're basically questioning Jesus' return. Where's the promise? Where's the promise of Jesus' return? Mm-hmm. For since the fathers fell asleep, died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That describes a process known as uniformity or uniformitarianism. Uniformity, things are uniform. Processes we see today have always been relatively the same since the beginning. Uniformity. And they will be willingly ignorant that by the word of God, the heavens were made of old, and the world that was, being overflowed with water, perished. The Bible foretold about 1,900 years ago that in the last days, scoffers would claim uniform processes and deny the global flood. Well, modern geology today, and for the past 100 or so years, has been based on two beliefs, uniformity and that there was never a global flood. Well, people listening might think, well, who cares about the global flood? Well, the Earth's crust is where the age of the Earth is determined. The Earth's crust averages a mile deep of sedimentary layers stratified out by grain size, weight, and density by moving water, which is why you have all sandstone, all shale. The old Earth beliefs are based on those layers having formed slowly and uniformly with no global flood, just as foretold would happen in 2 Peter 3. If there was a global flood, and this is what I show overwhelming evidence of at the canyon and through my messages, the global flood explains how those stratified layers form quickly, wiping out every belief that puts death before Adam, which would include wiping out Darwinism, humanism, atheism, agnosticism, etc. The global flood wipes all of those right off the face of the earth.
Wow. Well, friends, phone lines are packed here. Some of you are listening in the Phoenix area today, maybe have never heard of that staircase before. We welcome your calls as well, but lines are packed. Let's begin in Racine, Wisconsin. Paige, you're on the air.
Hi there. I want to say hi to Jim. I listen to Crosstalk every single day.
Thank you.
29, and when I was a teen and I was in my early 20s, I was not saved, and I did get saved, and a big reason that I did was because I had godly role models of older women and other people that really poured into me from the older generation. And something that I've done as of recent is I have taken it upon myself to pour into teens and
Wonderful.
Early 20-something women. So I just want to share that if any young people are listening today, know that, finding an older role model who has been there to pour into you, it can really be a game changer, and it can change your whole life. And I just want to encourage anyone, older or younger, help you know that you can be a light and you can change lives. And so I just want to say thank you for having this program on. It's getting harder and harder for young people to believe truth. I'm in the midst of it. And bravo, and praise God for what you're talking about.
God bless you, Paige. Thank you. And really, that's what your ministry is doing. I mean, I think of the Apostle Paul, who indicated to Timothy, he said, the things I've committed unto you, the same commit thou to faithful men who will teach others also, and is to pass that on here in society and to generations beyond us. And that's really what you're doing here, is equipping through your ministry, through the curricula, through the Grand Canyon tours, and through the lectures. Everything your ministry is doing is for that very purpose.
Absolutely. In fact, what Paige was saying is, as I was listening to Paige, my thought is, it's people like Paige that will get my book Cost and take a group through that, either a youth group, a college group, a Sunday school group. Groups like that usually get my book by the case, and they can go through that. Their faith will skyrocket, but then each one of them will have so much solid scientific and biblical information, they can start sharing it with others. Because I think what Paige was really saying was, this has to be a grassroots level effort, and we need people and good information to share with others.
The book is available through your website as well?
It is.
Okay. And again, folks, you can go to the website, creationministries.org. Let's go to Embarrass, Minnesota. And is it Terry? You're on the air. Hello, Terry.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello?
Terry, please go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. My husband and I, about 8 years ago, took our granddaughter for her graduation on Russ's river trip, for a 4-day river trip. And it was incredible. It really changed our life. It was so profound to see the explanations of the flood and see the evidence right in the canyon. The biggest thing for me was like the bedrock and seeing that. It was just amazing. And the biblical perspective and the worldview that was shared along the way was very impactful.
Yeah.
It has impacted our lives in even sharing with others, Sunday school classes, release time classes. Creation is so important in being those questions that those kids have, and I just want to just thank Russ for his ministry and what it did for us. And if anyone gets a chance to go, do it. It's a trip of a lifetime, and have Russ. One of your stories that I have shared repeatedly with people is the story about the orange in the canyon, and your wife were that. It was just amazing. It just topped the whole weekend off.
Terry, thank you. That account is how I end all of our trips. It's the Easter Grand Canyon Orange account, and I appreciate you remembering that.
Thank you, Terry, for the call here today. Impactful ministry and time for you to see really the layers of the Grand Canyon and its impact, the story it tells, to support what the Bible has to tell us as well. Well, we are up against a break. We'll take the break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls. So those of you on hold, stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I was thinking about what Jesus said in John 10:10. The thief has come to steal, destroy, and kill. The context is false teachers. But yet, my friends, the world is filled with false teachers, and they don't have to come into the church. They can be doctors. They can be so-called medical experts. They can be government people, globalists, who actually have a religion, the religion of pantheism, all is God, or panentheism, God is in all, a religion of occultism or New Age. These are false prophets. And what are they doing today? They're killing. Abortion on demand. Quote, a vaccine that's killing people. They're killing the dollar. They're killing small businesses. They're killing our country by opening our borders up to Islamists who want to kill us. Are we shocked that these people who serve Satan are out to kill, destroy, and steal? I'm Brandon House.
Our guest today, Russ Miller, website creationministries.org, and the sign up for the course also that we discuss, highschoolcreationcourse.com. That's just the registration page at this point, but a lot more under development, so keep checking back for that. Reminder, Russ speaking this coming Lord's Day here in our area, Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, Wauwatosa Bible Chapel, 10:30 in the morning. And I want to pass that on to you as well. Let's go next to Jan calling from Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jan.
Hi. I'd like to address two very important remarks to Russ for the wonderful work he's doing. And in a lineup with what he's been saying about the Grand Canyon, where I have been, also on Mount St. Helens in the state of Washington, when the volcano exploded, causing many, many, many sedimentary different kinds of layers to layer around a petrified tree. Mm-hmm. I've also heard of petrified trees that have been found buried by the flood, where many, many, many Pleistocene and other layers go alongside, and one tree growing up through all of it kind of proves
okay.
that it
looks Jan, we'll have him address Mount St. Helens. What was the second one?
And the other thing is that the idea of death coming before Adam has really, I now know why the devil is doing that, because our ministry, where I have healed completely 42 years ago from the diet in Genesis 1:29 mm-hmm. before death was causing cooking.
Okay, tell you what, we don't have time to go that direction here, but we'll have him address this matter, and already has death before Adam. It really takes us back to the garden with the serpent saying, "Yea, hath God said?"
Mm-hmm.
And that tactic of deception is still very prevalent today. But comments here, if you would, here about Mount St. Helens, and we know the work of Steve Austin and so forth, and the work that's been done there. It kind of disproves some of the statements that have been made about evolutionists have made about the Grand Canyon itself.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I appreciate Jan bringing this up, because if secular geology were truly about real science, geology 101 would be on nothing other than what we saw form quickly at Mount St. Helens.
Mm-hmm.
Jan brought up stratified layers. Three separate events, totally separate events, showed real science how stratified layers can form in a matter of minutes or even in seconds. Up to 600 feet of finely stratified layers laid down at Mount St. Helens, three different events did that. Also, the polystrata fossils that traverse multiple strata layers, Jan brought up, we find fossils, mostly trees, but even fish fossils that go through multiple stratified layers, and that is a real conundrum for slow, gradual formation. But at Mount St. Helens, God allowed us to see, actually observe, how polystrata fossils form quickly, not slowly, over never seen millions of years of time. And as far as the death before Adam, that I found is a message that will get through to Christians. If we talk about the age of the earth, 6,000 years, 6 million years, 6 billion years, a lot of people don't get it. They don't understand why that matters. Well, Jim, besides the Word of God, you need to realize the millions and billions of years is the foundation of humanism, Darwinism, etc.
Mm-hmm.
The global flood is a linchpin in that war of worldviews, which is why secularists must deny the global flood. A global flood explains how the Earth's crust, so stratified layers, form quickly, just like they did at Mount St. Helens in a smaller event, and it wipes out every old Earth belief, which put death before Adam. All old Earth beliefs come from the belief there was never a global mm-hmm. flood.
Thank you, Jan, for the call. Jim is next. You're on the air, Jim.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just want to thank you both for your ministries that you guys are involved with. I want to share something quickly. Me and some fellow Gideons were on a college campus this morning, distributing a whole bunch of New Testaments.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what better way to back that up with having someone like your guest come and speak there? Is there availability? Do you go to college campuses to speak?
Well, I used to do it quite a bit. I haven't been doing it lately because most colleges will block it. I can go to individual ministries and talk. I'd be willing to go speak on a college campus if you can get that set up. It's just gotten to the point where the woke generation pretty much blocks everything they don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
If you have some ideas on that, I'd be willing to talk to you about it.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll try to get a hold of you.
Great. Hey, Jim. Thanks.
Thank you for the call.
You,
again, that's creationministries.org. We've got David calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for both your ministries. Appreciate what Russ Miller has done, and he's had tours for some time and I was able to go on a couple of them. And I'd like if you would comment about the pennies along the rim and what has happened with them and what this national park did. And also let folks know that he's not trying to make a lot of money off of what he does, but he lets people copy his DVDs. And so we as a church have tried to do that and pass them out to missionaries and school teachers and everywhere.
Great. Thank you so much here, David. What about those pennies on the rim?
Well, let me explain that. In fact, David, I appreciate you mentioning that. And yes, I do not copyright my DVDs. I tell people to get my stuff. Make all the copies you want. Give them to everybody. It's a ministry. But let me get back to those pennies. Jim, you brought up that geologic trail of time with the brass plates. Well, if you walk along that, you'll see there's a lot of small brass circles, tubes in the pavement where they were going to put more brass plates. But so they didn't fill up, so they don't fill up with silt and sand and such. They found pennies fitted it, and they put pennies into each one of those tubes. Well, when I was walking along on my tours at the South Rim, I would point out that no matter how badly and how desperately the secular world tries to block the Word of God, every single one of those pennies says, "In God we trust."
Amen.
Well, so what the Park Service did, though, is they went through the next summer and they mushed out all of the writing on the pennies.
My.
But the ones that were facing in the down position still say, "In God we trust."
Amen. We're going to squeeze one last call in. Linda, we're almost out of time, but from Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes. I read in the book years ago that in 1929, the Christians compromised their beliefs in a new earth, and evolution got a toehold into the schools, which is there today. And I believe that evolution is Satan's worst and biggest lie from the deepest pits of hell, and that if a person really, I suggest a trip to the Creation Museum with Ken Hams, and they are DVDs.
Thank you so very much. We are out of time, and I apologize. We're going to have to leave it there. Russ, thank you for coming and sharing the hour with our listeners here today.
Well, thank you, Jim. God bless you for all you do.
Russ Miller here, and again, folks, the website creationministries.org, creationministries.org. I wish we had time because I know many of you would like to fill up the phone lines and talk for another hour here, but get more info at creationministries.org. Also, you can check out highschoolcreationcourse.com. God bless you, folks. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.